time of worship this morning. Kind Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time together. Yes. Thank you for each one of these, Lord, that have left the comforts and the rest of their homes to come out so early this morning, Lord, to gather together to worship and praise and honor you, Lord. I just pray that you'll bless this time that we enjoy together. I thank you for each one of these, dear Lord, and I thank you most of all for your presence with us. We can accomplish nothing without it, Lord, and I just thank you for that. And I want to ask your blessing this morning, Lord, upon your word as it's been written and as it's spoken and as it's received, dear Lord. Lay your hand upon me as I bring it forth. I can accomplish nothing with everlasting meaning without your help, Lord. And I just thank you again this morning for this time that we're about to enjoy together and have been enjoying together and will continue to, Lord. I ask your blessing upon it all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is not new. It's certainly not unfamiliar. You've probably all heard it before many times. It's entitled, "It Is Finished." And I would like you to go with me, if you will, in your minds. That's much simpler than following me in person. It's no telling where you would end up in that case, on a mountain somewhere, or most certainly in the woods. So go with me, if you will, in your minds. I would like you to focus your attention this morning on great accomplishments that have occurred in your lives, things that you have worked very hard to achieve. They don't have to be world-renowned, just things that are special and gratifying to you that you worked hard for and you worked hard to accomplish and achieve in your lives. I'll give you some simple examples of my own and of others that I can think of to help you focus your own minds on things in your lives that you worked hard to accomplish and achieve and that in their end were so gratifying to you. For myself, I simply need to think back to 1990 when my wife and I bought an old farmhouse, and my father-in-law gave me some of the best advice that anyone could have ever given me. He told me to get a bulldozer and push it over. And I didn't listen to him. So I've been paying the price for that ever since. I have worked diligently at my home, and I tell people it is a fact that I have come to face long ago that I will never finish it. I simply want it written somewhere on my gravestone, "He is done," because I'll never get to say it. However, I can feel a great sense of accomplishment from this little project or this room or this part of the house or something that I finished. It's very gratifying to me when I finish a certain part of my home. I think of the toil and the energy and the lost sleep and the, so to speak, the blood, the sweat, and the tears, as they say, that we put into our accomplishments that we're trying to achieve. And that's what I want you to focus your minds on this morning. Things in your life, they don't have to, again I say, be world-renowned, but just things that you worked very hard for in life. I think of accomplishments in other people's lives. My daughter worked so hard to get through school and to get where she is today. And each of us individually have our own things. Chris and Jody with their own home. And I'll have to pick on the Spiegelmeyers this morning because it's so fun. And my adopted son, Jimmy, as well. He's here. They work hard. I mean, they break knuckles, they work hard turning wrenches. And we can all think of things, seriously, not just jokingly, that we have worked hard to accomplish in our lives. On a more renowned scale, I like to think of, because I'm a football fan, of the the winning team of the Super Bowl, the gratification they have to feel, and the thoughts that have to go through their minds when they've reached that final achievement and they've won that trophy. They are the champions in the football world. They certainly have thoughts in their minds of where it began long ago before the season, as they began their physical training, and then the preseason games, and then the grueling 16-game schedule, and then making it through the playoffs, and always playing against the best of the best, and finally at the end of the football season to have won that trophy, and think of back on the blood, the sweat, and the tears, so to speak, that they put into their efforts to achieve and reach that great accomplishment. These are the things that I want you to think of in your own minds and about your own lives this morning as we press on. And now I want to ask you to keep those thoughts in your mind, but I want to change your focus this morning, or at this moment, to Jesus. The scripture text, used to a Bible land on the pew. I didn't bring mine up or on the pulpit. The scripture text for my message today that I hope I can finish briefly is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, if you want to follow along. John 19, beginning with verse 16 through 30. Then delivered he him, speaking of Pilate, speaking of Jesus being delivered to the cross. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, that which saith, they parted my raiment among themselves, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. No one in humankind, past, present, or future, will ever know. No one will ever experience the immensity, the extreme magnitude of the fullness, the completeness of the awesome finality of Jesus' work on the cross. No one in humankind, past, present, or future, will ever know the extreme magnitude, the extreme intensity of the sacrifice and of the suffering, of the blood and the sweat and the tears, as they say, that Jesus endured and Jesus put into his work on the cross. Jesus, his own self, as he was thinking before his upcoming crucifixion, Jesus, as he contemplated the suffering and the sacrifice that he knew was going to be necessary to complete his work on the cross, Jesus was so heavy in his heart that he, as it's recorded in Luke 22, 39 through 44, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared unto Jesus an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in such an intense agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. With these final thoughts of the great sacrifice that he made, Jesus then, as he hung on that cross and was nearing the completion of his mighty work on that cross, as it's recorded in John 19:30, just before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, Jesus uttered these profound words, "It is finished." And at the moment of that profound proclamation, it is for sure, and it is for certain, as God's word is true, that there had never been a greater work accomplished, nor a greater achievement ever reached. And the part that I cannot think in my mind, or share with another human being, or teach from a podium or preach from a pulpit without deep reaching emotion and tears streaming down my face, is that Jesus did it all just for me and just for you and just for the whole world, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have eternal life. And I can't help but make it personal unto myself, because I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for you all. You all have to speak to your own selves. Jesus did that all just for me in this sense. If I had been the only sinner in the world, he still would have gone to that cross. That's personal. And he was nailed to that cross. And those nails weren't put through his hands and through his feet to keep him on that cross. Those nails were put through his hands and through his feet to defy the created laws of gravity so that he wouldn't fall off that cross. He would have stayed on it, whether he had been nailed or not. If I had been the only sinner in the world, that that needed to be redeemed to God. That's personal. That's personal to me. And I hope it's personal to you as well. One only needs to examine some of the many, many descriptive and beautiful and wonderful and powerful names of Jesus to recognize his great work accomplished and the high achievement reached as he hung on that cross and uttered those final words, "It is finished." Jesus, 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 he is the bridge that spanned the gap, the chasm, the Grand Canyon of sin that separated mankind from God Almighty. Jesus, 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 he is my helper always, especially in our greatest times of need, when our human selves are overwhelmed and overcome by whatever it is that we are facing in our lives. Jesus, 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 he is the word for us to live by. Beside him, there is no other word whereby we might live. Jesus, 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 he is my constant companion, and never will he leave us or forsake us. Jesus, 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 he is life. Trust in any other, and your death will be everlasting in torment. Jesus, 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 he is comfort, ever there to wrap his loving arms around our grieving spirits during our darkest times of grief. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord, he was and is and will be forever our great sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 9 verses 12 through 14 tells us, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus, 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 he is my Savior. For once I was lost and alone in this world without hope, but now I am found. Jesus, 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 he is my shepherd. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, 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 what a beautiful name indeed. Name above all names, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Love, Messiah, Emmanuel, Son of God, Lord of all, Only Wise God, Rose of Sharon, Star out of Jacob, Bright and Morning Star, Son of the Highest, Light of the World, Great High Priest, Great Physician, God's Anointed, Word of God, Resurrection and the Life, Jesus Christ our King, Chief Cornerstone, Bread of Life, Dayspring, Rabbi, Rock, Master, Teacher, the Vine, Son of Man, Lamb of God, King of Glory, Man of Sorrows, the Second Adam, Seed of the Woman, the Way of Truth, the Life, Everlasting Father, Lily of the Valley, valley, heir of all things, faithful and true, ancient of days, good shepherd, mighty God. I am the Alpha and Omega, the door, head of the body, image of the invisible God, Jesus, 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 the author and the finisher of our faith, just to name a few of the beautiful, wonderful, and very powerful and descriptive names of Jesus. John the Apostle expressed at the completion of his gospel writing that if all would be written that should be written of Jesus, that all the world could not contain the books that should be written. And as Jesus bowed his head on the cross before death and uttered those words, "It is finished. For sure and certain, no greater work was ever completed. No higher accomplishment was ever achieved." And today, this Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate his resurrection from the grave. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord. He defeated sin and death for us. He silenced the boast of sin and grave indeed, beginning a new work yet to be completed, whereby he would then ascend to the Father and send to us his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to live and to reign within us, we in him and he in us, his kingdom within us, until his kingdom come again. We are his representation too. The lost and dying souls around us in this world, and that new work begun is that new work that new work begun is soon to be complete, as he is coming back to earth again in clouds of glory to establish his kingdom forever and ever. We will reign with him and bask in his unspeakable glory for all eternity. Stand and give our Lord this morning a hand clap of praise, because he is worthy. I thank each one for your kind attention. Remain standing and I'll close in prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. What a privilege, and one you know how extremely much I enjoy. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to present your word to your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each listening ear, Heavenly Father. I pray that you'll help us to take the things that we experienced here this morning throughout this entire service and the one following, Lord, that we'll be able to take it, Lord, and that you'll be able to apply it to our hearts, Lord, that we might go forth out into the world and demonstrate it in our lives to the lost and dying souls around us in life. I thank you, Lord, for this time and each one of these that you have given me to share it with, and I ask that you will bless our meal that we're about to partake of, dear Lord, breakfast this morning. Bless it and nourish it to our bodies that we might better serve thee. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.